This is a huge topic. This is one that centers and, you know, starts everything off, essentially. God the Son, you hear his name. You hear his name used as Christ. You hear his name used in the positive and the negative, all of these things. And I know the sheet I gave you is a little bare, just for note-taking. But the sheet I gave you is something just kind of like for each section. I wonder, yeah, there's no real way. I guess next time we'll put some like covering up there or something that you can see. I guess the auditory could work still. But for my visual learners, I wanted to put something up here. In short, the first thing we have to acknowledge is this is hard. The topic of like discussing who Jesus was, what he did, all of that is a difficult subject because what do you hear? A lot of people with a lot of different opinions, right? First and foremost, I'd say the vast majority are like, well, he was some nice guy, right? He had a lot of nice teachings. He told us to like love each other or something, AKA the original hippie that ever existed. But you talk to other people and it's like, well, he's a judgy person. He's one that condemns. He's one that is trying to keep people down, in other words. So a mean guy is one that we encounter. We even hear like, oh, he's never even existed. How dare you think that he was real or he was a part of history? But then you hear those, here specifically, even in the Catholic Church, this Jesus, this person who walked the earth, this person is God, and he's also Savior. And so that begs the question of like, well, what does it mean to be God, but he was also walking the earth? And what does it mean to be Savior? What did we need saving from, and what did he do in order to get that for us? Okay, so that's kind of the introduction of maybe things that you've heard out there in the world. And we hope to kind of clarify things here with all of your questions. So again, just a reminder, we didn't get a jar, but we still have the anonymous questions. If you scan the QR code, I hope to answer your questions about Jesus. And feel free, if you have a live question and you're like, hey, it's on topic and I'm a brave soul, just you can raise your hand too and we can just have that discussion. I would say, as I gave my introduction at the beginning of the year, it was getting my questions answered that really solidified who Jesus was for me in general. So get your questions answered. That's my main drive. And probably I say that over and over to the point that some people might be getting annoyed. Like, I get it. Ask questions. But that's just all part of it. Okay. All right. So in this class tonight, we're going to just address best we can the basics of Jesus of Nazareth in order to help you understand the Catholic Church. Like, what's the Catholic Church's relationship with Jesus? Okay. So the first thing is, because Catholics, we claim that Jesus founded our church. Okay. It's a pretty big claim. Because you look at other Christianities, I don't know if you've seen this before, and I know that it's very kind of distant or farther away. But other churches do have a founder that they go back to. So, you know, for example, on top, for Lutheran, the founder is Martin Luther in 1517 in Germany. Anglicanism, we know from the history books, if you like history, Henry VIII. And if you remember how I had to teach church history once, and to remember his wives, you had a little song. Divorce, beheaded, survived. Divorce, beheaded, and died. Divorcer, beheaded, survived. So he beheaded two of them. He divorced two of them. One died on her own. And then the last one survived Henry VIII. But anyway, so all of these Christians, you know, the different levels of Christians, kind of point to a person who really founded their church. But, you know, just going through even more Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. But Catholics, in the years that they were, Catholics say that in year 33, Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church with the first Pope, Peter. Okay, so this is a pretty big claim. And if that has you any asking any questions, go for it. I like the questions. So if that has you asking any questions, please feel free to ask and get that going. So Catholicism, be it Eastern Orthodox and all of that, but that's here nor there. It's a pretty big claim. Do you have any questions about that? Yeah, actually, any live questions about that or anything? No, okay. I'll look at the anonymous here in a second. So this overview, there's so many different ways that you could go about with this. That's why, you know, just going to RCA this first year, you can go in future years as well, because all the presenters are probably going to take a different avenue because we can. There's such a big depth to the church that we can go in different routes. Next year, this topic of Jesus could be taught by someone else in their perspective. But I actually wanted to go through, you know, how I think converted to Catholicism. And it was actually the first one of overview of Jesus was really answering that question, did he exist? And I know that sounds kind of silly because we're all here. And in some ways it's like, well, Christianity is important and that doesn't happen without Christ. But I want you to be able to not just answer it for yourself, but there are a lot of people out there who have this claim. Like, well, I don't really think he existed. I want to help you help them by some information. Okay. Second question, who was he then? So we'll establish, did he exist? Spoiler alert, the answer is yes. Who was he? And then lastly, what he did while he was on earth. Okay. So moving along, the first one, did he exist? My recommendation for you guys is actually to kind of check your own belief there. Just go interiorly and say, like, how solidly do I believe this? So like I said, I was in my early 20s and late teens, and I was in a science field, and I didn't hear God spoken much in my science classes. And when I did hear, it was by my classmates who were like kind of very dismissive. So, you know, me being surrounded by this community there, a weaker foundation just kind of went along with the flow in a lot of ways. So it'd be great to kind of check your own reference to, like, how solidly do I believe that Jesus walked this earth? If this is the place you need to start your journey, completely okay and good even, okay? I would say that both of these things are just a wonderful starting point to begin with, okay? So a lot of people would just say, a lot of Christians will say, well, he's in the Bible, but is that good enough for some? So what I want to do is start a little video here that has really good information. I can come back to it too if you can't see it as well, but this video series is called Alpha Youth. I don't know if you've heard of this one, but Alpha Youth does a really good job, I would say even for adults, to really kind of answer the big questions. This is from their second episode of Jesus, Who Is He? And they answer this question, like, did Jesus actually exist? How do we know for a fact? And how can we base our faith on this? So let me get to that at 3:45. Okay, so wanted to pause right there. Unfortunately, like, there's some language over here. So when it comes to, like, historical critical method, like, historians, when they take, like, did this A, did this person exist? And B, did they write something? And was it them as the actual author? We see year gaps between the physical copy that we have versus how many copies. And so here we are, you know, Caesar's Gallic War, you know, 900 some years in between, like, when Caesar existed and the first copy that we have. And all we have is around 10 copies. And every historian is like, yes, this is 100% Caesar's words. Caesar existed. This is a true copy. Okay. And that is a 900 year gap with 10 copies. When it comes to the church and the Bible itself, the earliest one, like 160 to 300 years, like, we have different copies of that, but there's thousands, tens of thousands of copies that we have. This was everywhere back then. So a serious historical critical person that would look at using the same method, they would say that the Bible itself is a reliable witness to point that A, Jesus existed, B, these witnesses were telling exactly what they saw, and then C, that we can verify this as a true historical thing. So that first claim of no historian, no serious historian would ever claim that there was no Jesus, is the first kind of foundation that you have to kind of input or intake into yourself. So hopefully kind of the, again, to have more evidence of Jesus than Tiberius Caesar, that can be shocking to a lot of, especially like, you know, academic folk in that means. But did that kind of make sense? Hopefully, I'm just yelling numbers at you and just saying like, yeah, it's true. But yeah, so that was the first part of taking, especially the biblical historical context of Jesus existing. All right. I think we're with that though.
Century.
Okay, so then it goes more in depth, this Alpha series. But I highly recommend you go Alpha Youth. It's just on YouTube. All these episodes are great. So there's a specific thing you learn in RCIA that's nice because we have like a verbal discussion. We have some reading. We're learning a certain way. If you learn better through videos and things, add this to your supplement of kind of saying like, okay, what else is out there kind of for the learning phase, all right? Okay, that kind of makes sense. That seemed like something of interest, the Alpha Youth series. I just kind of want to help supplement your learning, I would think. Because not everyone has the same styles of learning that we would have. Okay. Okay. So that was our kind of the first one of like, did he exist? We really can use the New Testament in order to establish the fact that there was a Jesus. So the next fact that I kind of want to unpack here is like, who was he then? You know, Alpha Youth was even continuing on that he was a Jewish man from Nazareth. Take the New Testament account as it is, as a true witness. And people in there were like, yeah, he's from Nazareth. We know this guy. We know his dad. We know his mom. They're all from Nazareth. So now we're kind of going more in depth into who he was. Sorry, one second, as you know, I just kind of went and started. Let me pull up forms just to see if there's anything there, but we'll kind of do that as well. All right, so the first thing is when unpacking, you know, Jesus and who he was, let's actually look at what he himself said about who he was. Throughout the scripture, he talked about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said that if you welcome me, you welcome God. And in another instance, he said, your sins are forgiven. Okay. So within this context, we see like he is hinting at the fact that he's something more than human, even though he is physically in front of them. They saw him grow up like a regular human. They saw him have a job like a regular human. But he is starting to hint at there's something deeper here. Something to kind of keep in mind is those four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, walking around, all the miracles he did, all of that. That took place in a 3-year period. So Jesus himself was, we have an account in Luke where he was born. We have an account when he was like 12 in the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. And then from age 12 to 30 are just called the hidden years of Christ. He was just a normal human growing up, learning, had a job. We say that during this time, he lost his adopted father, Joseph. His adopted father, Joseph, died. But everything you read in the New Testament about him happened in a 3-year period. All that walking around, all the miracles took place in a very short time. If you read the Gospels, sometimes you can see the immediacy and the haste that Jesus has. He's like, I have to do this, and I have to do this now. And immediately he went here, and then immediately he went there. It's because this 3-year period was packed with a lot of stories, a lot of witnesses, and he had an immediacy to him. So here he is, this human who's eating with them, who is sleeping, who had work, who has to walk around, all of a sudden he is hinting at deeper things. It gets to the point where in John 10, 30 to 33, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? And lastly, it says, we are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Here's a conflict. The conflict of asking, like, who Jesus is. You have to put two things, you have to hold two truths at once. You have to hold the truth that he was fully human, and you have to hold the truth that he was also fully divine. Not partially divine. You can't forgive sins unless you are actually God himself. So when you are confronted with who is this Jesus guy, you are confronted with the question, the statement, like, you can't say he was just a nice guy. You can't say he was a nice philosopher who said a bunch of good things. You can't just think that he is someone preaching peace and love, because he went around telling people that he was God. You can't see Jesus and say he's a nice guy or a philosopher if he's claiming to be God, but he's not. This led one author to kind of put it best. Because he was a human walking around, but he also claimed to be God, that means that he was one of three things. He was either a liar, he was a human claiming to be God, and he wasn't. He was a lunatic, these are the three L's. He was a lunatic, meaning he was fully human, but he believed himself actually to be God, which wouldn't be the true. Or he was actually Lord. He was who he says he was. These three are the conflict that you might have to go through when confronting with who is this Jesus person in history. A lot of people have wrestled with this, and yeah, that one author just put it best. He had to be one of those three things. I would say if you don't have this conflict within you, that's okay too. Some people, I think of my grandma Wojciech, so Evangeline Wojciech, I don't know when she learned English. All I know is my mom, so they were, you know, born and raised in Nebraska, and my mom learned English, I think, when she was 7 or 8, because just everyone spoke Czech in the Bohemian Alps. So my grandma didn't have a high school education. She played organ for the church for 60 years. With a very simple faith, she probably never was confronted with this. She just believed. And it's beautiful that some people have this experience of hearing the gospel and it resonates so deeply with them that they're like, this is true. And that's it. And that was that was my grandma Wojciech. And then like myself, I did not have a simple faith. So I know I had to butt my head against like every little question like this. So if I'm presenting this and I'm presenting like, and you're interiorly saying like, I don't have a conflict here. Totally okay. You're totally fine. You're 100% good to go. But if you ever do, maybe this. If you do have that faith and it's like, good, can this bolster it up a little bit? Like, no one can push against your faith and sound super smart or highfalutin. No one can confuse or confound you. You never have to fear that there's a truth that your faith can't stand up to. Okay? So if you're not feeling any conflict with any of this, you're okay. But I hope this kind of bolsters your faith even up. Does that kind of make sense? I want that to kind of be a word of encouragement in the middle of all this, okay? Because here I am saying, like, was Jesus a liar or a lunatic? You're like, no, he was Lord. Pretty easy. Okay. So he went around saying that he was God, which was, again, either a lie and he was insane, or he was who he says he was. But I would say that when this is answered, those three L's, you know, liar, lunatic, and Lord, I'd say the number one kind of avenue in order to answer that he was genuinely Lord, that he was who he says he was, is that scores of people died. They had a sword to their throat and said, say that you made up that Jesus came back from the dead, And they said, no, I can't, because I witnessed it. And then they were killed. Scores of people died in order to witness to the fact that I knew Jesus before his resurrection, before he died, and I saw him face to face after he died. And this is, and they believed that to the point of dying for that. Scores of people. The Romans, when, you know, the Romans who are masters of torturers and death, they use torture and death for a sport. If you like history, you know, the Colosseums, Roman candles. I don't know if you know that one, but yeah, those fun little Roman candles that we fire off. Well, they used to be made of Christians. So that, yeah, so kind of a horrific thing. They would make Christians into these candles and then, yeah. So anyway, there's a beautiful British show called Horrible History. It shows these kind of things. But so the masters of death, the masters of torturers would just say, like, are you a Christian? Which is implicitly saying, do you believe this or did you witness this? And everyone died rather than saying it was a lie. So I would say that can help. Of the apostles, 11 of the 12 kind of second set, not counting Judas Iscariot, 11 of the 12 were martyred for the faith because it was the same thing. It's like, I can't deny it. They were tortured in horrible ways. St. Peter was crucified upside down. St. Paul was beheaded. All of them had the opportunity to say, like, just say that this is made up and we'll leave you alone. And all of them said, no, it happened. You don't do this for a lie. People do not die for a lie. People do not hand over their life for a lie. And especially over when they were, you know, they scattered throughout the world and they were on their own. Okay. You know, you can kind of, if there's like a mass hysteria that we've seen humanity do that, but not single people on their own scattered apart from each other. They believed it so much that they actually died for their faith. So the witnesses can kind of help you solidify your faith that Jesus was who he says he was. He was fully human walking around, but he was God. And he did come back from the dead. Okay. The next part that we'll get into, though, is I mentioned this human and divine thing from who he was. And so that we're going to take a short break. Actually, do I have the Q&A first? Can someone tell me that? Is that, yeah? Nope. Okay. Let's take a short break. I'll pull up the Q&A. And, you know, then we're going to get into this whole, like, what did Jesus do? And why did he have to be human and divine? Who he was? So if you have any questions about, like, the founding of the church, any general questions about Jesus, go ahead and start inputting those. Or we didn't get an anonymous shoebox, which I know where one is. So let's take a break, and then we'll come on back. Let's give you about 5 minutes. That sound fair? There's plenty of goodies. I saw the baked goods back there. Is that right, Rosie? That is correct, she says. So go get a drink, use the restroom, come back in 5 minutes. All right, God bless you. Mm-hmm.